AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of Scottish football and ahead to a huge midweek of European action. Rangers draw in the Premiership again as Russell Martin says Hamza Igaman didn't want to come on the pitch against St Mirren. Celtic beat Livingston but are already in Kazakhstan ahead of tomorrow's Champions League playoff decider. And the latest Scotland squad has been announced. Aaron Hickey's back for the first time in almost 2 years and Ben Gannon-Doak back as well. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me, two men who are back every Monday night. You've got Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, Brendan Rodgers says there can be no excuses in Kazakhstan tomorrow. Russell Martin says a draw in Paisley isn't the end of the world. And Steve Clarke says Scotland can earn a passport for a long-awaited return to a World Cup finals. It's a huge week, Gordon, for Scotland's top clubs, followed by a huge week for Scotland's national team. It's just as well none of the three of us felt any niggles and refused to perform for Super Scoreboard tonight.
I don't even know why we've turned up tonight. I think you could have just done a rerun of last week because we're saying the exact same things as we did the previous week. A comfortable Celtic win, a lacklustre 1-1 draw for Rangers, Motherwell playing brilliant, but not scoring, not winning the game, sorry. The only slight change is we've got European football again this week, but it looks a wee bit bleaker than it did last week. The announcement of the Scotland squad, and then we've not even mentioned first whole firm game of the season next week.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Don't worry about doing the same thing, because apparently if you keep doing the same thing and follow the process and keep the standards high, the results will come, Andy. The results will come.
That's good psychology from you. I like that. 0141-951-1025. Get your calls in. What are you thinking tonight? It's another Monday where we could probably extend the show till midnight. I don't just say that for dramatic effect. I think we really could. So get in touch and let us know what's on your mind. Paisley yesterday. So much coming out of Paisley yesterday, because you've got the result. Third successive game for Rangers in the league. Third one-all draw. Still looking for a first win in the new Scottish Premiership season. Then you've got the same performance. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it somewhere in the middle? What worked? What didn't? Team selection, style of play, all that stuff. And then you've got the post-match interviews. Hamza Igaman was meant to be brought on by Russell Martin, so the manager says, on 60 Minutes. The player said he was injured. And the rest, well, that's up to us to argue about, I suppose. So what do you make of that whole situation? How angry or annoyed are you at Hamza Igaman? What do you make of his part in it? Are you annoyed that Russell Martin chose to air it publicly, or is that inevitable given that he would be probably getting stick for not putting the player on? Where does it leave the player's future at the club? What does it do to your chances of selling him for big money? There is so much going on there. So much from Paisley yesterday. And as usual, you St Mirren fans, it'll probably get lost how good you were. So get in touch there, 0141-951-1025. Have I finally stretched too far to ask for any Celtic fans in Kazakhstan to phone us in? That might be a stretch too far, but to those of you who've stayed here, what are you expecting? It's all or nothing, really. Do you think Celtic can get through? Brendan Rodgers seems pretty confident. 8 changes and a win at the weekend. What did you take away from that? Is Hearts v Motherwell the game of the season so far, and will it be beaten? Because it was absolutely brilliant. And just how good was your first 65 minutes of that performance, Motherwell fans? Like, seriously, it's a serious question in terms of, is that as good as you've seen? Certainly going to somewhere like Tynecastle, because it seemed to get rave reviews everywhere. So thoughts over to us on that. There's a Scotland squad as well. Hickey's back, Doak's back. No other real surprises, you would say. Bowie keeps his place, Lennon Miller keeps his place. So get all your thoughts in there. And anything else you think we've missed from the weekend, 0141-951-1025. What was your result of the weekend, Andy?
We never had a whole load of choices this weekend with a lack of games, but I'm going to go with St Mirren. Obviously they probably didn't quite get the result they would have hoped for at half time, but I thought they brought a lot to the game. I thought they were excellent in the first half, and if it wasn't for an unbelievable save for Jack Butt in the in the last kick of the game. It could have been more.
Don't mind it, because like I say, inevitably we'll get accused of not giving St Mirren the credit they deserve, so can't say fairer than that. Result of the weekend, Roger?
Well, given that his life-size cardboard cutout is peering over my shoulder, I'm going to have to go for the team known as Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle. Second time this season already, they've gone to Dingwall and won 3-1, once in the League Cup, now in the Championship. They are going really well, and they're scoring so many goals that Dave Galloway can't even keep count of them.
That's true. I think we had them down for a 4-1 win at the weekend, and it was only 3-1. Spelled the end for Dunkowie, as you say.
Yeah, it did. Some league, that three games gone, two managers away.
Incredible. Right, go on then, goal of the weekend.
Well, I feel as if every weekend we're talking about how good the standard of the goals were, and you know, you mentioned the game at Tynecastle, there was some crackers within that, and I'm going to go with a classic, you know, like a team goal.
Has to be.
And it was really close between the second and the third. I love the third because of the unselfish square for the tap-in, but I thought the second overall was just that slightly wee bit better. Obviously built out for the back, few passes, and then gets flipped down to Elijah Just, who steps by his marker. Lovely little nutmeg inside. The chip pass that I don't think you can underestimate. And then it's a lovely touch and finish by Maswanisi.
There you go. If you've not seen it, you don't need to, because he's described it perfectly.
Can you explain one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
Tawanda Maswanisi.
Yep.
What do you call him?
JT.
Why?
Because he calls himself Jeffro.
It's Jethro's his first name, isn't it?
Oh, do you know that?
Jethro.
It's Jethro Tawanda.
See, every day is a school day.
It is.
I've been dying to ask you that for weeks, and I kept forgetting.
Jethro Tawanda.
What are you going for?
Sorry, boys, but Harry Milne.
I don't mind. I didn't mind.
Wasn't even the third best goal again.
Smashed. Boom.
It was very good. Howler of the weekend.
Mine's could be the harshest howler of the weekend of all time, because again, we never had a lot of choices. Nah. The referees are quietly doing all right.
The referees are so quiet.
And I'm going for Jerome Pryor. Now, wait, I know he's probably made save of the season.
Exactly.
But for me, it cancels it out with a mistake for the first goal, because Livy are doing everything they can. You hold on to the game. Everybody knows that the first goal, especially at Celtic Park, is so important. And I thought he was really poor for the first goal. And then after that, I don't think there was any way back for Livingston. But I should say no way back after that. There was no way back after Hugh Keevan says it's absolutely impossible that Celtic win the game today.
But how good was he save, though?
It was save the season. It's unbelievable. It really is.
So good. Go on then. What was your howler?
Well, I'll see you, the Livy goalie, and O'Reilly, the Motherwell goalie. Sorry, Andy, I know he's your pal, but Callum Ward spilling that one out for the third goal for Claudio Braga. He needs to be holding that.
Well, I'll stick you down for a no comment on that one.
No comment. Aye. We call him Kill the Dragon. No, so I'd like for him to say him by his real name.
And what are we left with? Top man, top performer of the weekend.
Well, in maybe the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, we're getting callers consistently on a Monday, Celtic fan callers saying that the club aren't spending enough money. They spent 1.5 million on a guy from Sweden who looks as if they're on the earth. Another gem, you've got to say. Benjamin Nygren, I thought he was excellent again at the weekend. Pops up with the all-important two goals, and as I said, 1.5 million euro looks like a decent bit of business.
All we hear is Claudio Braga.
That's two in a row for Hearts. Come on now.
One assist, two goals.
So you've
led the fight.
You've
back.
Taken the game at Tynecastle and overlooked Elijah Just's performance.
Elijah Just was very good, just not good enough.
Embarrassing from you, a broadcaster and journalist of your standing in the game. Anyway, right, 01419511025. Let's get stuck right in on the phones. Any Motherwell fans or Hearts fans want to discuss that game with Andy, please do. But I had a funny feeling this would be the topic that would take off to start the show this evening. Mark is a Rangers fan. Sum up how you are feeling now, Mark.
Guys, been on the show for 20 years, since before Andy Halliday was born. Well, actually, no, he's a lot older than that. listen, it's a shambles. It's an unmitigated shambles. First of all, we're delighted we've got new owners. The club have made, I don't know, 8, 9 million from Jeffrey and Ridvan. That side of things, you know, we're getting rid of a lot of players that shouldn't have been in the first place. That side, I don't doubt, will go from strength to strength. But sadly, and I say this sadly, the appointment of Russell Martin is a disaster. And it's not a good thing to say. It's not out of enjoyment, nothing personal, but it's a disaster. It's very, very unusual. After 2 or 3 weeks into the season, he's lost 100% of the fan base. This isn't a, you know, is it a 50-50? What do people think? 100% of the fan base want him out now. It's been a disaster. He's lost his dressing room of the guys. You can see clearly he's thrown Dessers, the Eager Man, and whoever else under a bus. He's lost. I don't doubt he's lost the dressing room. I don't doubt the players are not listening to him. Bajrami is another one. Now, I don't care whether these guys are wrong. Eager Man is wrong for not going on the pitch. Okay, so behind closed doors, get rid of him. Don't come out and reduce his value by going on national radio and TV and saying he's refused to come on. The point, he's lost his support. That's the first thing. He doesn't seem to know his tactics. Now, this isn't a case of it's a new manager, you know, that we're going to see progress. What we're seeing is no progress. We're seeing it as a total farce on the pitch. The fans, we want him out. And this board, this new board, I'm not going to use any rude words, so this new board have got to show guts. Let's use the word guts and get rid of him. Because if you act now, there's a full season to save here. If you act now, the fact he's gone to Belgium is shocking. Absolutely shocking. He should have been out the door. Do you? I don't know any other way to look at this. Three league games in, and you've not won a match against the three teams we've played. That alone, Europe, Bruges was a disaster. Now, I'm sorry, Bruges are not a level above Rangers. That's factually incorrect. See, if you look at the two teams, I think Rangers are every bit as good as Bruges, but they tore us apart in 20 minutes due to his tactics. And that there, he shouldn't be on that plane to Belgium to play in the European game. As for the Celtic match, I shudder to think. But they should get rid of him. They should make a statement. They are here. They've put millions in. I don't doubt they'll be good for the club long term. Get rid of him. Thank you. It's not worked. I don't know who they get. Do they go and get Gerrard? I'd love him. But listen, we can debate that all day long.
So no way back. Definitely no way back for you already, Mark.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear, Gordon, so there isn't confusion. He's finished at Ibrox with the support. This isn't a case of there's a certain fan group that will take him. He's done. This is now, what we're now doing is we're prolonging the inevitable. Now, I like to think I'm quite good at thinking. I don't think I rush into judgment. And I've not said anything until now, even though I can see it's going nowhere. But see, when there's a week left in a transfer window, and there is still a European tournament, the Europa League, to play for, and they could win the league, go and get the man that could do that. Because this man is finished at Ibrox with the support. And when that happens, as Andy will tell you, once you lose the support, you do not get them back. And he's done. His comments in the press are shocking. His comments to the players, the way he motivates people, his tactics. I think half of the signings look rotten. But I'm not even going to judge the signings, because you need a decent manager to judge them. So they've signed them. They need to give them a chance. But I'm sorry. I'll say it final time. Russell Martin is finished with the support at Ibrox. Get him out. And make a statement. Let the board show their guts. This is a time to show guts. Sack him and show that you've got the tenacity to do that. And get in somebody like Gerrard or somebody else. Bloody see if you look at Barry from last year. I'm sorry, Barry would have won these three games that they had last year. So no, he's got to go. He's lost the support. It's not a case of if they go and beat Celtic. See if they beat Bruges tomorrow or on Wednesday, they beat Celtic. He's still not going to win the support, because that's the short term. We can see his tactics are all wrong. We can see the way he speaks in the media is all wrong. And it's done. So see, when it's done quickly, you make a move quickly. You need to do a Daniel Levy like Tottenham do. Make the change and make it when you can see it's going nowhere, because they've got a chance to win everything this season. They've got a chance, but they need the right manager at the helm to do that. You need somebody that can motivate, somebody that can play the Rangers way, a Walter Smith way, an Alex McLeish way. Get the defence sorted, and that's how you win titles, with a good defence, and deal with the rest after it. Right now, the defence is all over the place.
Wow, what a passionate opening from Mark. Roger, do you... We pick that up. Want to agree or disagree with anything Mark said?
Well, Mark, he's certainly not sitting in the defence, Mark. Listen, it's not going particularly well. That is an understatement. Three draws against Motherwell, Dundee, and St Mirren is, I think, well, statistically, it's the worst start thing since 1989 for Rangers. If you can't beat, no offence, Motherwell, Dundee, and St Mirren, then the next three domestic games, Bruges is gone, they're out of the Champions League, they'll be in the Europa League draw Friday lunchtime. The next three domestic games are Celtic, Hearts, and Hibs in the League Cup, all at Ibrox. It is the perfect opportunity, if you're an optimist, for Russell Martin to win back some of the fan base. Not sure he's going to win back Mark.
Mark says that still wouldn't even work, but I do wonder about the importance of that fixture next week and what that can achieve if it goes right.
Yeah, if it goes right, and you see it yourself, you know, it would get, in terms of arithmetic, it would get Rangers back to within 3 points of Celtic ahead of an international break, and would put a smile back in the faces of Rangers supporters. But if these next three games go wrong in a full house Ibrox, it's going to be difficult for Russell Martin, because I don't think he'll have seen anything like that.
Go on then. What's your take on it all?
I don't know how much I can say these days. Listen, I remember when Russell Martin was appointed Rangers manager, it already split opinions, didn't it? And we had the feeling that it was actually the European games that were really important for Russell Martin, and he managed to steer through them. He navigated the first two rounds, but it's really been the domestic results, and you've got to say domestic performances as well, that's been quite alarming, and the reason the Mark and fellow Rangers fans are really disgruntled. I think the worrying thing is there's not really been any signs of improvement. He's talking about they're only 8 weeks in the building, which is extremely fair, but nine games I think is quite a lot to show signs of improvement, to show signs of change, and you've got to say it's not been there yet. And I mean, I was half tongue in cheek when I says we didn't even need to turn up tonight, because we'll be talking about the same things as last week, but it's true. It was the exact same last week, and it was the exact same in the first game.
On the pitch, though, but I think there's now, with every passing week, Roger, there's more to it, because we're going. Mark alluded to it, but we're going to go on to Hamza Igaman now. With every press conference, with every interview, that there's more. Andy's right in the sense that it's the same as last week on the pitch, but it feels like it is snowballing a bit overall.
Yeah. Well, listen, I might be in the minority. I think Russell Martin was correct to out Hamza Igaman. If Hamza Igaman is refusing to come on and play for Rangers, then Mark and the other Rangers fans deserve to know about it. Now, he's saying it's going to reduce his transfer value. Sounds to me as if a transfer is very much in the offing. Maybe the teams aren't too far apart. Igaman is potentially in the huff that it's not happening. The manager alluded to it. If you've got a player like that there, Rangers are as well getting them off the books and replacing them.
Do you agree with that, Richie, or should Russell Martin not have mentioned it in the way he did?
Hi guys, good evening. I don't think they should have. I don't think he should have outed him. He's thrown him under the bus. If he's a professional footballer and he's feeling a niggle while he's on that touchline warming up, is he meant to keep quiet and go in the park and maybe get a serious injury? Now, if he gets a serious injury and he turns around and says, "I told the team that I wasn't feeling, I wasn't 100%. Where does that lie? Who does that lie? Is Russell Martin saying he's to come on the pitch injured?
Do you believe that Hamza Igaman was injured yesterday?
Well, if he wasn't injured, why did he no start? Russell Martin's glossing
he,
over
they
the
He said he was never going to start on the didn't he, I think, from his previous...
They went to St Mirren and played no strikers. Is anybody talking about that? It was absolutely abysmal. When have Rangers ever went away? The first corner Rangers got was in the 73rd minute. You used to be able to bet on Rangers having over eight corners in the first half. We don't attack anymore. We pass the ball around the edge of the box. There's no attacking. They cut inside. They moved Gassama on his weak foot when you needed a goal to fit in Mikey Moore, who has only played a few minutes. They've put Asgard up front. I know Danilo's not been playing great, but you go away to St Mirren and you play no strikers. He came out and done exactly the same against Motherwell. When he glossed over the performance, Motherwell played great. Motherwell should have won the game. But he came out and flung two mysterious players, remember, under the bus and said, a couple of mysterious players under the bus and said, oh, they're too big for the boots, basically. Do you know what I mean? And then we all saw that the two that were dropped in the next game and said, oh, there's been no bids in for them. Do you know what I mean? It's just, he's throwing players under the bus to gloss over, because we were all talking about those two, remember, for a week. Mm-hmm. And then we're all talking about Igamani for the week. Nobody's actually talking about how abysmal his tactics are.
Yeah, and listen, I do get that side of it, but you're saying you believe it, Hamza Igaman was injured. If you're Russell Martin in that moment, right, and you want to put him on, and you probably don't believe that he's injured, then you're the one that's then going to have to be asked, because you know you're getting a world of criticism after the game, and you're going to be asked, why did you not put Hamza Igaman on?
He did not need to come out and do it the way he'd done it. He'd done it as if... The reason we didn't get back in that game was because Igaman didn't want to come on the pitch. He could have just said, listen,
what's been lost in it all, Richie, is the guy who came on and saved the day, Finlay Curtis, wouldn't have come on if Hamza Igaman had gone on.
What do you think, Andy? Because I get the sort of PR bit where some people feel that, well, maybe Russell Martin didn't need to be so explicit about it, because now if you are going to sell him, clubs will know there's a want-away player there and they can lowball Rangers, etc., etc. But on the other hand, I am detecting a bit, and I don't want to accuse Richie too much, but a bit of people already don't like Russell Martin. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, Hamza Igaman's off scot-free on this.
Yeah. Listen, I can see both sides of the argument, but listen, when you're not actually within the building, you're doing a lot of mm-hmm. speculating. But if you get injured while warming up, I can assure you the first thing you do is alert the physios, and within 2 minutes you're inside the dressing room talking about what it is, icing your leg, icing your quad, whatever it may be. So Hamza Egerman was not injured for me.
Look at recent examples. Scotland, remember the night Angus Gunn got hurt playing for Scotland, end of the season against mm-hmm. Iceland at Hampden? And out of the blue,
I genuinely tried to forget about that night.
Out of the blue,
Kieran
Slicker gets sent on. Look what happened to poor Kieran Slicker. Mm. He gets sent on. And people asked after the game, why was Kieran Slicker sent on? Clearly a third choice goalie. And Steve Clarke said, Robbie McCrory got injured in the warm up. He told us after the warm up that he was injured, he couldn't go on. So when Angus got injured, then
right
Kieran Slicker got put
on. Hamza Egerman was warming up during the game as well, yeah? On the side of the pitch, no?
So my point is, if he felt something during that time, he'll alert the physio, be back. So the fact 100%. Of the matter is, Russell Martin went to turn to Hamza Egerman to bring him on, and he said he was injured. So for me, he wasn't injured. Now, I have a lot of flaws personally. One of them is, I wear my heart on my sleeve, which I think Russell Martin does. If a player's refused to come on for my club, I'm not defending him in a press conference when I'm already under pressure. Now, I can understand the arguments, but if I got asked a question why Hamza Egerman didn't come on the pitch yesterday, 20 minutes previous when I tried to bring him on but he refused to play for the football club, then I'm not sticking my neck out the line and defending him. So for me, I think this has to be Hamza Egerman's last week at the club. He has to be out the door within a week. Because by the way,
you're sell him for next to nothing now though, or what?
They're not going to sell him for next to nothing. He still has his value. Now, there's also something that a player can go and apologise. So if Hamza Egerman's transfer doesn't go through, he can still go and apologise to the players, he can still go and apologise to the manager. But as far as I'm concerned, if he doesn't want to play for the club, you can move him.
Let me ask you quickly.
I think this will be a deal where Hamza Egerman will leave for a Ligue 1 team, he'll go on loan with an obligation to buy, and by next summer the landscape for Russell Martin and Hamza Egerman could look completely different.
Thank you, Richie. What do you think? Let us know right now. We'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, about to be joined by Gordon in Inverkip. How would you sum up your feelings as a Rangers fan now, Gordon?
Absolutely disgusted, Gordon. Last time I phoned in was Halloween, and I think Gordon Gale was dressed as a chicken. I don't tend to phone in because unless I'm really, really angry. So good evening, Gordon, Andy and Roger.
Good evening, Gordon.
The St Mirren game on Sunday, I was absolutely shocked, disgusted at what I saw. I'm a season ticket holder, but I've not actually been to a game so far. I'm not happy with the appointment of Russell Martin. I will go to the game on Sunday with dread. Just when the game started off, I couldn't believe that we didn't start with a striker. We need a guy like a Haitley type or somebody like that. With Danilo as good as a backup striker, but he's not an out-and-out guy that's robust and going up against. What we're going up against is a lot of good strong defenders. There's a lot of big guys in that St Mirren team. There's a lot of good big strikers as well. We're going up against guys that are physically fitter and faster than we are. And that came very much so in the Bruges game. These guys were very athletic. They were quicker. They were knocking our strikers and midfielders out of the way. The only one that, to me, that got past Mark the other day there was Raskin. He was really trying. They slag off Tavernier, but when Taff came on, the game actually improved. That Max Ahrens, I'm horrified. He's absolutely garbage. And they're jumping on top of the other midfielder. What's the chap that came off? Rosswell. They're jumping top of him. He's actually played not too bad so far. But Russell Martin's tactics, when I phoned in October, I was going on about keep Clement, give him a chance, this thing about not getting rid of all the Rangers managers. But this guy just hasn't got a clue. We've got to be realistic here. We're going to get hammered on Wednesday night. We're going to get absolute tanking. And there's no doubt about that. It would be a miracle, and I don't believe in miracles. We're not going to do it. Celtic are probably going to get a 1-0 win. Good on them. That's up to them. We're just not good enough. I don't think Rangers and Celtic are good enough for Champions League. We don't have the money. We don't have the skill level, bottom line. And when we go over to play in Belgium, that will come through. Europa, yes, Rangers have done extremely well, punching above their weight in Europa, and so have Celtic when they've been in it years ago as well. But I'm just disgusted. As a Rangers fan, all these Celtic fans will be saying, oh, this is great, having a laugh. You look forward to each season, but as the guys are all saying, we're only a couple of games in, and potentially we could lose the league. We get beaten off of Celtic, the league's gone.
What do you make of this, the specifics of yesterday that Gordon mentions? Were you surprised at the team lineup in terms of Telo Asgard, false nine, or whatever it was?
I was horrified. I mean, you look at his percentage. What is it, 40% win rate he's got so far with Rangers? And he was 38% with Southampton. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You're the statisticians. I'm not. But absolutely disgraceful. Mm. And you pay your money. And Rangers, it's not just that. There's other things that Rangers do that annoy me. Celtic have got Champions League games, so they've got a triple package, three games or four games, whatever. They charge a lot more and they say, OK, it might be Champions League in Europa, but we absolutely shaft our fans. We get done for that as well.
Let me put that to the pundits, Gordon, if you don't mind, because I think you've covered a lot of interesting ground. And was the team lining up a big shock and a big surprise, or is that an indictment of where the striking department sits at the moment? We've covered Igaman, Dessers, Danilo not performing.
Yeah. I think a bit of both. They obviously weren't filled with options going into the game yesterday, with Danilo being the only recognised striker available to start the game, because he mentioned that Igaman wasn't fit enough to start. But I was still surprised when I seen the team lineup came through, and I was really interested to actually see how that transpired within the game. But I don't even think you got a chance to see it, because very similar to what I said against Dundee. Still building with a flat back four, Nico Raskin playing in between the centre-halves at times, and then Jack Butland in goal. So you're building with six players in front of the full St Mirren team. Straight away, I think it's very, very difficult to break down. And Rangers, they stay on the ball and try and entice opposition players to come press them. But St Mirren had obviously watched that and had a game plan where they weren't pressing. So what happened was Fernandez would stay on the ball long enough that the only pass he had was Jaden McGomart's left hand side, who was then pressed within seconds off of Killian Phillips. So I'll give St Mirren a lot of credit as well. I thought their game plan was excellent yesterday, and actually only really think, Russell Martin's obviously really big on positional play and wants his players in certain areas to play in specific areas of the pitch. I actually thought when Rangers were better was when players just broke rank and they just got desperate to score and players just burst into the box and Nico Raskin was driving down the left hand side. For me, that was the only really way to improve.
Did Gordon hit on another good point, Roger? I mean, obviously the scattergun is out. It feels like literally every bit of it is getting scrutinised and criticised at the moment, but a kind of physicality, is there something lacking there? Now, I know it can be tough to match St Mirren, but
Joe Rothwell was saying after the game St Mirren competed better. Imagine a player in any team saying that about his teammates. I knew how St Mirren were going to play. You knew how St Mirren were going to play. St Mirren play the same way every week, and that's not a criticism. I think St Mirren are a great team. They finished in top six the last three seasons. They play all manner of good football, good footballers in the team, as they showed again yesterday. And Rangers could not compete with it. Rangers should never be going to St Mirren with a false nine. It's an absolute nonsense.
Well, who'd you play then?
You just play whatever centre forward you got. If Dessers isn't fit, you play either Danilo or Igaman. You could tell in the
Danilo
first 10...
Danilo deserved to stay in the team though.
Well, listen, we'll get back to a couple of the points Gordon made about some of the new players. Aarons is not as good as Tavernier. Rothwell is not as good as Raskin or the other midfielders in there. And Asgard is not as good in that role as any of the strikers. He could tell within 10 minutes that the St Mirren back three were, they had him in their pocket. He was causing absolutely no threat. Rangers should be going there. I covered a game for Super Scoreboard in February at St Mirren Park, Saturday night game. Celtic went to 3 up and scored 5 goals. And it was a terrific game. St Mirren did to Celtic everything that they did to Rangers at the weekend, and Celtic stood up to them. And at the weekend, Rangers did many 50-50s. You see yesterday that St Mirren players came up with the ball, and Rangers, they couldn't match it physically. And it looked as if the manager, it was like his Southampton or his MK Dons team going away on a Sunday to try and get a 1-1 draw at Stoke or Cardiff and coming away thinking that's a good result. For Rangers, a 1-1 draw at St Mirren off the back of 1-1 draws against Dundee and Motherwell, it's not nearly good enough. The players need to realise it, and the manager needs to realise it. And he needs to realise that before you can play your lovely football, you need to earn the right in the Scottish Premiership to play that lovely football. And they haven't earned the right.
Funny you say that about St Mirren. Just a quick anecdote from last week. I was up doing some filming at St Mirren for Sky. You may have seen the bit on Sky before the game. A day with Stephen Robinson sort of thing. Now, you can only show certain bits, but we were really lucky. We got to sort of sit in the team meeting, sit in the analysis, film little bits, watch the entire training session. And I didn't necessarily want to say anything about it before the game. I thought, wait and see how it plays out. But everything St Mirren identified on Wednesday, they then took it from the team meeting. They went on the training pitch. They worked specifically on what had been in that meeting, and then they put it on the pitch yesterday. And it was actually really impressive to see that the level of detail and how they were so clear in what they were trying to achieve. And like I say, don't know.
He's built a really, really strong team there, a really, really strong squad of players, and they thoroughly deserved their points.
Yeah, let's thank Gordon, who's very upset, and bring in Scott, who's on the other line. Take it away, Scott.
I didn't really plan on coming on tonight, but I think once again, and I was on 3 weeks ago talking about the negativity, and I understand some of it, but I'm absolutely flabbergasted with the amount of negativity and listening to the guys saying that 100% all Rangers fans are against this, that, and that. Absolute nonsense. I'm a realist, and I think all the realist Rangers fans. Rangers fans, again, I say the last thing, Rangers fans are great when everything's going their way. See, and it's not going their way. They're probably the worst, and I'm saying that as a Rangers fan. Who do we think we have the right, just because of where we are now, to sack another manager and think it's going to get any better? So we sacked him up. We sacked all the managers before. Sacked him on. We sacked him. Where do we keep? When do we stop? What I do believe is, I think we're only going to really see the benefit when the window shuts. That's my opinion, and a couple of reasons why. Russell Martin has made it clear about prima donnas that he spoke about. I don't know his words, my words, and the team who players who think they're better than what they are, and they're not playing for the jersey. So we need to get away from this. Stop blaming Russell Martin for everything. I will blame him for some stuff. I've not heard anything much about some of the players have brought in. I agree with the Aaron's one. It's going to take, and as I said the last time I was on 3 weeks ago, and people keep saying we don't get the time. The 49ers, I heard the guy saying the 49ers should do the right thing and sack him. No, the 49ers should do the right thing and keep him, because it's far too early. And see maybe 6 months up the line, if it's still the same, fair dues. See this 8 weeks in and everybody shouting because they're angry. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think anytime we get a call like this, Andy, I don't like the sentiment, and I tend to lean into that bit as well. Of you can't keep sacking manager. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, Scott's saying, you know, there are Rangers fans out there like him who are patient. It feels like there aren't many. Could be wrong, it could be that loud, you know, element. It feels like there aren't many. And then once that does happen, I don't know, is there enough people out there who feel that way?
At the moment, it doesn't seem so. I think it was the earlier caller, Mark, that said when the Rangers fan turn against the manager, it's very, very difficult to go back. And I've got to be honest, yeah, I do agree with that. But I don't agree with the fact that 100% of the fans have turned against him, which I think was the exact statement that Mark used. So the 49ers aren't going to sack Russell Martin after 8 weeks. It would be ridiculous, especially after you've given 15 million plus to go and assemble a squad of players. There's still 2 weeks left of the window. It's not going to happen. I was also someone that was champing at the bit for a Russell Martin to come in the door because his style of play, because his identity. But, and I stress, I expected more earlier than I am now, but I definitely expected more improvement within the 9 games. I expected to see some sort of transition and getting slightly better on the ball, getting slightly better off the ball. But I don't really think there's a facet of Rangers games right now that they're clicking, because we've spoke so much about Rangers on the ball. Off the ball as well. I mean, defensively, they look really leaky, but Russell Martin uses the term aggressive consistently throughout the week, post-match, pre-match. I still haven't seen any hint of Rangers being aggressive off the ball. The biggest difference for Rangers to last year now is I think they're playing a higher line, but they don't actually put pressure on the ball to stop it at source. They don't have any turnovers at the top end of the pitch. Now, what doesn't help to try and get that is not playing with a striker, because you don't actually have somebody that goes and leads your press and then wins the ball
back.
They're
actually the opposite of aggressive, Andy. They're passive. They're far too passive. You know, Alec Gogic, Marcus Fraser, Miguel Freckleton, you move into the midfield. The way Killian Phillips led that midfield and led the press yesterday, they were aggressive. That's what aggression is. On the football field, they got at Rangers, and Rangers just couldn't handle it yesterday.
Now I'm saying this is something that Russell Martin references regularly, so he does see it. But I'm expecting to see improvements from game to game. That's not just happened at this moment.
See on that, Scott, because like I said, I think the sort of the general feeling's admirable. You're trying to think longer term and say you can't keep sacking managers. I like the sound of it. But are you basing your support for Russell Martin purely on that notion, or are you seeing something that makes you think it can get better?
If I'm being honest, right now, I'm not seeing something to make it better right now. But what I'm still saying is, after 8 weeks, it's still far too early. Now, fair enough, if we're 6 months up the line where we're so many points behind. Now, the other thing as well is, bearing in mind, the getting into the Champions League, I never expected to get into the Champions League, so we can't even count on that. And to be fair, I'm sort of happy in a sense we're not getting into the Champions League, and it's not making excuses. I don't want us in the Champions League to get hammered, because that's where we're at. And I think Rangers fans need to take a realistic look at where we are. We're not the Rangers that we used to be. I heard some guy commenting about the players with Walter Smith today. That's all gone. That's all past. That's all history. Talk about the present. We're talking about the present, where the guy was on earlier talking about Iggeman never faked injury. He was on a warm-up, and it's fact. If you're in a warm-up, you get an injury, you declare it. He never declared it in the warm-up. So fact, he's lying. That's a fact. If somebody's saying that he's no, then it says there about them. He never declared it, which means he wasn't. He lied to not get on for whatever reason. And I quite like the honesty. I know a lot of people say throwing on as the bus. No, I like it. I like the fact he's come out and been honest and been straight. And that's how he should be. It's not today we're throwing people under the bus.
Fair enough. All right, Scott, thank you very much. Nice to hear the other side of things from time to time. That was Scott on the line. Let me tell you about this before we move on. £550,000 up for grabs. An incredible amount. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 for that plus your standard network rate as well. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday. Don't miss out. £550,000 up for grabs. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna have got quite a lot to get through. If these phone lines are anything to go by, keep them coming. Ian's and Rob Royston. Ian,
you okay?
How are you?
Aye, after yesterday, I'm getting there, getting better.
It'll take a few days, I think, Ian. What jumped out for you?
It's really the Iggeman issue with Russell Martin. I think the issue with Iggeman was, he's been put on the bench, and he's looked at the starting line-up and he's seen that Asgard has been put up front. So Russell Martin's put a midfielder up front, playing the false nine role, whatever you want to call it. He's been sitting there, he's looked at Mikey Moore getting put on at half-time along with Danilo. He's thought, all these guys are getting put on in front of me. They're now needing a goal, and now you're turning to me. Instead of starting me, where I'm, that's my own position. And I think Iggeman is maybe taking the huff a wee bit. I don't condone what he's done. I totally don't agree. If you're asked to go and play for the jersey, then you should be playing for the jersey. But I think Russell Martin's making a road for his end back here, by trying to be too cute and trying to wear these different positions and trying to play players out of position, trying to get something to stick, when it just, to be honest, I don't really think he's got a clue what he's doing.
How do you think, Andy, because we've had a few theories now about, I mean, there was obviously one that said he was injured. You know, I completely believe, you know, that he was injured. Ian saying he thinks it's more that he was in a huff and he doesn't condone it, but, you know, kind of thinks Russell Martin's making life difficult. If Hamza Iggeman is not injured, as I think most people would agree with that, if he wasn't injured and didn't want to come on, how would that go down in a dressing room amongst teammates?
Yeah, they won't be happy, I'd imagine. And again, I can always understand if a player's got one eye on his move and he wants to leave the football club, I completely get it. But if that's the case, you chap Russell Martin's door as soon as you hear of the bid, you chap his door on Friday or Saturday morning and say, I don't want to be available for the squad this weekend. I want to go to Lille, I want to go to XYZ, and I'm moving on for the club next week. fair enough. But you don't make yourself available for the game, you don't warm up with the squad, and the manager turns to bring you on to change the game for the football club, and you say, I'm not coming on, I'm injured. That just wouldn't happen. I don't think players would stand for it.
Because that's the bit, Roger, where we probably have to separate it. We can all be big picture about it, and fans can talk about commercial value and the PR side of things, and have you damaged his credentials to potential suitors. But if you're a fellow teammate, you're not really caring about that, are you? You're just more interested in, did he refuse to help us out when we needed him?
Yeah, and I don't think the players will take well to that. What we do know, I don't think there's a way back in the relationship between Hamza Egerman and Russell Martin.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, unless Hamza Egerman does what Andy says and knocks the manager's door and apologises, and I don't really see that coming. There's murmurs in France again this afternoon that Lille have renewed their interest in him. He wants to go, but looks of things. Even before yesterday, I was not convinced that Hamza Egerman was Russell Martin's type of player.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So if Egerman wants to go and Russell Martin doesn't want to pick him, then I think a deal can be done, surely. The key for Rangers now, though, this is going to sound daft after bringing in 8 or 9 or 10 or however many it is, I think that squad's looking short. They've got rid of 3 left-backs in a week. Yefte, Yilmaz, Robbie Fraser. They've only got 3 centre-halves, one of whom's Manny Fernandez, who's not had a lot of football in him. And if you're not picking Egerman, and there was some strange quotes about Cyril Dessers yesterday as well, and Danilo's got 1 goal since the 2nd of January, Rangers desperately need a centre-forward so they don't have to go through that debacle of Thelo Asgard and a false nine again.
You're disappointed in Egerman, Ian, if that is the case. Although you're saying you don't think Russell Martin's helped the situation, you're disappointed because I think fans, this is where fans of every club are probably united, which is not often the case, that they just want the players to give everything, and they want them to, you know, do it at all costs. Is that something that has been lost here?
Absolutely. I mean, if he's declared himself fit to play, all right, he says he's picked up a knock during the warm-up, but surely if they declared that to either the physio or somebody else within the backroom staff, the fact that, again, man's not basically given his full effort for the jersey, then, just get as much money as you can for him, get him out the door and hopefully get somebody in place of him, plus maybe one other, because... No, that doesn't do for the club. It's not on.
By extension though, Roger, there was a really interesting one. I'll get Andy's take on it as well. Forgive me if I'm getting some of the exact wording wrong, but you'll see what I mean. So in the press conference, so not the Sky interview where he first mentions Hamza Egerman, in the press conference afterwards, Russell Martin speaks about Egerman, speaks about this situation, talks about a bid during the week. He then goes on to say, I mean, however, if you look at Cyril, he's made his intentions clear, and yet there's no problem there. He's training well. So I think most people take that Cyril Dessers is wanting to leave.
Yeah, that's how I took it.
But he's not causing the same issues as Hamza Egerman is. There is a follow-up question, though, to Russell Martin, which says, oh, has Cyril asked to leave? And Russell Martin says, no, Cyril's never asked to leave once. So what is it? Is the devil in the detail here? Is this Cyril Dessers hasn't officially asked to leave, but he's made it sort of known that he would be open to it? Or is there something else?
If you go back to High Summer, there was a lot of talk of AEK. Athens been interested in him, and the figures that were spoken about, he was going to earn a lot more money in Greece than he was going to earn in Scotland. And at 30 years of age, whatever Dessers is at the minute, that can turn your head. Look at Kyogo when he went to Rennes in January. So I think it's quite important the Rangers hold on to Dessers because he's better than anything else that they've got at the minute. They're keen on Bojan Majovski. If a deal can be done to get him in from Girona on loan, I think that would really help matters for Rangers. But there's only a week. We'll be here next Monday night. Transfer window shuts next Monday night, Gordon. I think Rangers have a lot of work to do on ins and outs. And Russell Martin said again the weekend, by the 1st of September, the squad will look a lot different. Well, you better hope it looks a lot different, because after that window shuts, that's the squad that he's going to have to work with until January. And as it stands just now, they don't look very well upholstered, if you like, for the challenges of the Premiership.
How did you read that Dessers one, though, Andy?
What was the exact words?
It's like I say, he's almost drawn the contrast to Egerman. and says Cyril's made his intentions clear, but there's no problem there. He's training, he's trying to get fit.
Yeah, well, if he used the words Cyril's made his intentions clear, I would take the assumption that Cyril Dessers also wants to leave.
But he's then asked straight after it directly, has he asked to leave? And he says no.
Yeah. Well, try to read into it, is it a case of Cyril Dessers is happy to move on if the club want him to move
on?
But isn't actively pushing for it. But if he used the words as you says, he's made his intentions clear, that tells me that he's referenced that he wants to leave the football club.
Someone's going to tell me I've got that quote slightly wrong as well.
No, I don't think
you have. I was trying to get the sentiment across. I was never pretending to have memorised it word by word. But anyway, let's thank Ian for his time and move on to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge news on Beat the Pundit tonight. There's a development.
I know.
There's something new on Beat the
Producer
Pundit.
Producer John couldn't wait to tell me.
Well, listen, you're just going to have to wait for me to reveal all, but the gist of it's still the same. Give us a call before 7 if you want to take on Andy or Roger. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah have just moved into the second half. Keep your calls coming in. The events in Paisley yesterday have taken over. Not necessarily just the performance, the result, the post-match interviews, Hamza Igaman, Cyril Dessers, it is all there. Not a great deal of love for Russell Martin at the moment, but we did have a couple trying to balance things up and call for a bit of patience. Will it catch on though? Celtic fans, you are already switching your attentions to Kazakhstan. The team flew out yesterday. Brendan Rodgers did his pre-match press conference today. Can you do it? It's a straight shootout, 0-0 in the first leg, winner takes all tomorrow. You made 8 changes and one at the weekend. How are you feeling now? Because there's a whole lot of negativity towards the end of last week. What about now? Let us know. And anything else from the weekend, let's do it. Play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Was it this time last week you got a 10?
Yeah.
Roger Hannah, okay. Just to see what you thought. I did say there was a huge development on Beat the Pundit. Beat the Pundit has been going for many, many years, and it always offers, that really sounds bad on radio, don't do that. Okay. It offers a signed ball to the winner as well as the bragging rights. Well, we've decided to spice things up a little bit. You know, I've been bragging greatly about my wonderful new Beat the Pundit coin.
Yeah, it's lovely.
As provided by Zenith Coins. Well, they have now been in
number
touch.
Number one for all your coin needs.
To give you the choice that if you win, you can choose between the signed ball, as tradition would have it, or your very own money can't buy limited edition collector's item.
Can I just ask
Beat the Pundit coin?
Who's responsible for this decision? You can choose one or the other. I mean, is Gordon DL making up the rules now?
Money's tight, isn't it? I thought we'd give both, but money's tight. It comes in its look at this lovely display case for those of
that's
you
a
watching
nice touch, though.
On the YouTube stream. I think these will go down well.
I'd take the coin.
It does not fit in your trolley. It's far too big for that, so don't be swayed that way. But there we go. You can have your very own Beat the Pundit coin. James is on the line. How are you, James?
I'm good, thanks. How's everybody there?
James, you could be a history maker, James. If you win, are you going to go for the new coin or are you sticking with the sign ball?
I'll stick with the sign ball.
James,
come on now.
It must not be watched on YouTube.
I know, exactly. You've not seen how good this coin is, James. Honestly, there's some weight in it. The only thing that worries me.
I've got YouTube on.
Come on, James, look how good this is. I'd never get a job in QVC with her.
No,
I'm trying my best here. It's not working. Anyway, right, well, tomorrow night's contestant, you can go for the coin. James is going for the sign ball. You don't even need to pick right now, to be honest. I just thought I'd put James on the spot. In the blue side will be Andy Halliday. Red side, Roger Hanna. And it is Roger Hanna up again.
Good luck, James.
I've not played for a while.
If I win, do I get the coin?
No, absolutely not.
Remember last year, I went first eight weeks of the season playing
you
the
just
role.
Sat back. Have you not played this season yet?
Once.
Need to get that sorted. Right, James,
you've got a new coin.
30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds then on the clock and your time starts now. Shamal George played for which other Scottish club apart from St Mirren?
Half.
On what date does the transfer window slam shut?
31st of August.
Scotland call-up Dominic Hayam plays for which club?
Pass.
Who made more Celtic appearances, Ian Wright or Dion Dublin?
Ian Wright.
What country is Hamza Igaman from?
Pass.
John McGinn started his career with which club side?
St Mirren.
Okay, Roger Hanna, minus one, can you hear us?
Why did we just hear minus one there?
One of you was whispering along to the song, which was very unnerving.
ABC, The Look of Love, one of the greats.
You just know every song name in that as well, don't you?
I think it makes up. You and I don't know any better. We just agree.
I know that song, to be fair.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. You start with minus one. Your time starts now. Shamal George played for which other Scottish club apart from St Mirren? On what date does the transfer window slam shut?
September 1.
Scotland call-up Dominic Hayam plays for which club
Blackburn.
Side? Who made more appearances for Celtic, Ian Wright or Dion Dublin?
Dion Dublin.
What is he laughing at? What country is Hamza Igaman from?
Morocco.
John McGinn started his career at which club?
St Mirren.
In what city did Aberdeen's European opponents FCSB play?
Bucharest.
Which Premiership manager in Scotland has been in their current job the shortest amount of time?
The shortest amount of time? Russell Martin? No,
what's,
it isn't. No,
what's wrong with you?
Can he guess September 1?
Oh, you're looking, it has to be the first. Are you looking for specifics?
September 1 can it be a day?
I have to admit, what's. Is he malfunctioning? That's not as funny as he's making
September
it out to
be. 1.
I actually thought I'd said something. That, you know why I say it though? Because that's the way it's written in the paper.
Shorthand.
Oh, that's brilliant. We say,
that's true, in the top corner.
August 31, September 1.
That just seemed like a pure malfunction.
No, I think you're the one that's lost the plot here. I knew what he meant. Anyway, Shamal George played for Livingston. That's Roger Hanna's minus one wiped out.
Oh,
level.
James.
James didn't get it. James did not get September 1 either. He went to the 31st of August.
Oh.
Roger Hanna goes one in front. Dominic Hayam has got one Scotland cap already, I think.
Played in Norway.
He came on in Norway in that famous night. He plays for Blackburn. Roger Hanna gets it, goes two up. Even the 50-50s were going against you, James. It was Dion Dublin, not Ian Wright. Only one more appearance, though. Quite a sneaky question. Only one more. Hamza Igaman's from Morocco. James, I'm afraid you didn't get it either. I'm worried about James at this point. He's got a zero on the board. However, he saved himself. Not enough to win, but he saved himself with John McGinn and St Mirren. Roger Hanna got Aberdeen's European opponents are from
Bucharest.
Yeah. You're not going for the 10 because
as soon as I said it,
Andy's gaffer
was
appointed after Russell Martin. So there we go. James, all that stuff about whether it was the coin or the ball, irrelevant in the end. He's done you, I'm afraid.
I know, he's done well.
Can Celtic get the victory they need tomorrow? You fancy them?
I believe so, yeah. I think it'll be tight, and it's obviously a tough travel and all the rest of it, but I think we'll have enough in the team to get through the tie.
Roger?
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Yeah, I think they will. I do think they will. I think it was. I know what you thought about the team selection on Saturday.
What was his quote again? It would be impossible for this starting 11 to win the game or something.
Yeah.
It's not like him.
But they did. Nygren, who was one of the three who kept his place, was excellent. They rarely looked at losing a goal. They got the 3 points on top of the league. They haven't conceded a goal in the league. I just feel they underperformed greatly last Wednesday night. I don't think they'll underperform to that extent again. You wonder how much the loss of Dastan Sapé after suspension will impact Kairat. I just think Celtic are a better team. I think Celtic will get through.
There was a lot of negativity at the end of last weekend. Most of it was, well, it's probably split. I think there was the performance, but it's really because of what's been going on or not going on in the transfer window, which famously closes on September 1. Did you... That said, I still feel like I'm hearing a lot of people who do think Celtic will finish the job tomorrow, even though it should in theory be a good bit harder than it was at Celtic Park.
I do think they'll have enough, but I do think it's going to be extremely difficult. Travel time zone, weather over there, and I actually thought they, were better than I thought they would be. And I suppose that's just a bit naive. I can't say I've watched a whole lot of Kairat and Matty, but I thought they were well organised. I thought they looked really fit, and I actually thought in the small periods of a time where they had the ball, I thought they were really composed. I don't think they were overawed about the fixture or the stadium or the team they were playing against at all. So I think it's going to be difficult for Celtic over there tomorrow night, but I do think they should certainly have enough to do it. And if they don't, I mean, they tune in on Wednesday night, so it could be a lively one.
Be a good show tomorrow. There's nothing like it. There's a live game on during Super Scoreboard in the midweek.
5:45 kickoff.
5:45. Who's on? Dazzler and Marv?
I think so, yes.
Wow. Good show.
Brendan Rodgers has spoken at his press conference today, confirming that Adam Ida has travelled, but, you know, he was only one that missed the game at the weekend. That's back in, if you like. Austin Trusty remains out. What hasn't changed since last week, though, Roger, is the perceived weakness in certain areas, like a stick on to play at number nine, or if that stick on is Dyson Maeda, who are the stick ons to, you know, to play either side of him. You know, those issues haven't gone away as such, but you just think Celtic will be a better version of
themselves? I think they'll be a better version. I have a feeling Maeda will play through the middle. I'm really interested to see what he does with Nygren, because he played Nygren wide right at the weekend, then brought him in. He sent on James Forrest for Luke McCown and switched Nygren back into that midfield role. But I wonder if it's a night where Maeda plays through the middle and either Forrest and Yang are either side, or Nygren with Forrest or Yang, if you know what I mean. And he adds in an Engels, or he adds in a McCown. McCown had a wee knock and came off.
Because I think I'm right in saying, as good as Nygren was and got the praise, Brendan Rodgers was a bit critical of his role out wide, is that right? Talking about him coming in the coming in the pitch too much and all that
100%.
Sort of stuff.
So listen, he was excellent. He will play. I'm interested to see where he plays. It wouldn't surprise me. I actually thought Yang did fine when he came on at the weekend. So
he's
could
always
Yang
always better off the bench? It feels.
Yeah, I agree with you. Really interesting to see what he does. But I think Celtic, they've looked quite solid defensively this season. They haven't letting a goal in the league, obviously a clean sheet against Kairat last week. They conceded that great goal to Keelan Adams in the Falkirk Cup tie, and that's the only one they've lost this season. So they do look better defensively. I just think surely they can summon up a better performance in last midweek, and surely they'll get past Kairat.
Apparently close to agreeing a deal. Yes, seriously, Celtic fans, after weeks of moaning that nothing's happening, maybe moving on. Boca Juniors left back Marcelo Ciracchi, and a £5 million deal apparently agreed for you providing the pronunciation.
Michel-Ange Balaguisha.
There we go.
So I was going to put that on you. Say that again.
Michel-Ange Balaguisha.
Balaguisha.
Simple as that. So things starting to move. The problem is, obviously, this 90 minutes changes everything one way or the other. If it doesn't go to plan, the accusation will be that this is too late. And if it does go to plan, not everyone, but I think a certain element would say, there we go, you know, we held our nerve in the Champions League now. And
listen, we spent the first hour of the show saying what a big week it is for Russell Martin. Theoretically, it's a big week for Brendan Rodgers as well, because if Celtic progress to the Champions League phase and win or draw at Ibrox, he's looking great. If things go wrong in Kazakhstan and Celtic were to lose at Ibrox, then suddenly, you know, that kind of pendulum swings back towards Russell Martin a little bit. He gets an easier time, and the pressure's put. It won't be putting Brendan Rodgers. It'll be putting the Celtic bone.
Stephen is on. How are you feeling about it all, Stephen? Hello, Stephen. Oh, is he gone? I thought we had him. I thought we'd Stephen locked in. My mistake, perhaps. Not get calls in, incidentally, on that 01419511025 if you want to share your thoughts. And there's a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Try and get Stephen back, or someone else, if you want to get your thoughts in on that game tomorrow night. The eight changes, Andy, it was always going to be a game. I got this feeling on the phones after the game on Saturday that the Livingston game was just a sort of inconvenience, and Celtic fans straight after full time just wanted to talk about signings again, or wanted to talk about the Champions League. But you know, they had a job to do, and after the week that Brendan Rodgers had, can you imagine they had drop points? You know what that reaction would be. So it still feels like it was quite important.
Yeah, of course it was. 9 for 9 points, not conceded a goal in the league this year. Looking fairly comfortable within the games, and they can afford to make 8 changes and still come out on top. So I thought Livingston made a good job are keeping the game stuffy, shall I say. Jerome Prior, as Roger
Prior,
sorry, as Roger pulled me up before the show.
I can't believe he got your howler of the week, given how good his save was.
Well, I was just about to say he produces the wonder save to keep it at 0-0, and then I think it would be disappointing for his part to play in the first that gets Celtic back within it. So you then see again Celtic make changes towards the end of the game. Livingston come out of shape to try and get something back for the game. Sometimes that's your own worst enemy when you try and get back into the game, because you know Celtic put their foot in the gas and make it 3.
Stephen is there now. Take it away, Stephen.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
It was just regarding, obviously, we know there's a massive European game tomorrow night for Celtic, with the implications it brings financially, and obviously the big difference in money that brings from the Champions League to the Europa League. But the point I was wanting to kind of talk about was, over the last couple of weeks, Brendan's been pretty vocal with his lack of transfer activity and targeting the board and saying that he can't really control it. And I'm kind of hoping that if Celtic were to come away with a victory, which is, and obviously nothing is guaranteed in all respect to that team who are vastly rated below us, but they gave a good account of themselves last week. But I would like to think if we could manage to win that the players would then come in, and then obviously we could repair the relationship. Not that I'm saying that it's a broken relationship between Brendan and the board, but I would love to see Brendan be tied in a new deal, because he's a wonderful manager. He's won everything up here that can be won, and I genuinely don't believe we could replace him with a better manager. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for that this galvanises the club and brings the harmony back together tomorrow night.
Be interesting to see what happens long term. You know, I think, Stephen, Celtic will get through and they'll get into the Champions League groups. Signings will come in, you know, they're close to the left back for Boca, they're close to Balotwisha. Wouldn't surprise me to see them go back in for Jacob Broom at Go Ahead Eagles as well. I think a striker will come in before the window closes if Celtic are in the Champions League. I think it will need to come in. So I would expect between now and next Monday night, September 1, Andy, there'll be 4 players in the door at Celtic. Whether that, as you say, repairs any relationships, I don't know. I've always had in my mind from 2 years past that Brendan would do his 3 years and go. That will be the guts of 6 years as an old firm manager. It's an awful long time. And I just think, you know, he's in his 50s now. I think he would probably like either or both another crack at English Premier League or a crack at one of the big European leagues, you know, La Liga in Spain or something like that. And if he leaves with another title, if he leaves with another run in the Champions League, his reputation will be high, and I think he could get another big job. Not a bigger club than Celtic, but a bigger league than Scotland.
And this is going to all end in a happy new contract for Brendan Rodgers Wednesday morning. On the plane back, on Madonna's plane or whoever it is this time.
I certainly don't think it will happen that quickly. And listen, with these, a lot of concerns, because I do think there's a lot of Celtic fans out there that feel as if he's working his ticket in the minute and this will be his last year at Celtic before he moves on back down to England. So it'd be a real bonus, because they clearly do have a top manager in their hands. I think his domestic honours won in Scotland would confirm that, and the jobs he's done down in England as well. So I don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
But you're pretty confident, Stephen, although it won't be easy. You think it will be job well done in the end tomorrow?
You know, I think if you try to be pragmatic about it, it's easy to come out and say there's a vast monetary difference in the two squads. But I mean, I think the team came over and they acquitted themselves really, really well. They worked hard. They had the Martin down to an end, and they were doing like a man Martin. They kind of looked all the game. They looked as if they'd every part of the pitch covered. But I mean, I would like to think that Celtic could go over there and play a better game, because last week was a dreadful showing by our standards. And I think if they just turn up and they play to their strength, I'm not saying it should be an absolute walkover, but they should have enough in the tank to get there. And I think if they don't do it, I mean, I think it would be an embarrassing defeat to go out at this stage to a team, and no disrespect to the team themselves, but, you know, I think it would be a poor show from Celtic if they did go out.
I think that's fair, because you can say they are better than people thought, you can give them plenty of respect, but if you get to a Champions League playoff, there are some seriously big clubs in there, and a team from Kazakhstan is a generous draw. I don't think that's been disrespectful, is it?
No, not at all. Had it been either Kyra Talmati, Oslo from Bratislava, it's a kind of
no excuse tie, isn't it?
Well, listen, that was the phrase that Brendan Rodgers used this afternoon in Kazakhstan. There'll be no excuses if they don't get through. It was a decent draw.
Right, come on then, keep the calls coming. 01419511025. I can still see loads of reaction coming in from Paisley yesterday. If there's something else though you want to discuss, let's hear it.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. Get them over and let us know what you're thinking. Maybe you've got a question specifically for the panel. I've got a full time teaser for you. It's quite straightforward for men of your football intellect, if you ask me. So Brian and Falkirk sent it in. Topical, because there was a Scotland squad today. Can you name 9 players since 2012 to be capped for Scotland men's team whilst at Hibs? So can you name 9 players since 2012 to be capped for the Scotland men's team whilst at Hibs?
You want us to start?
Mm-hmm.
I was just writing it down.
Kieran Bowie.
You know what's funny about Brian's list is it doesn't have Kieran Bowie, so it makes me think this is like a...
Since Kieran Bowie.
Before Kieran. You know, that's what's inspired the question. I'm going to give Brian the so benefit of the doubt.
We're not looking for 10.
Nah. Ryan Porteous.
Yes. Roger Hannah.
John McGinn.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there. We'll try and get the rest. Remember, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com to submit your questions and hear them used on the show. So please keep them flowing in to us. Let's go to David in Govan Hill. How are you, David?
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, pal?
Yeah, all good here, David. Probably, since it says next to your name here that you're a Rangers fan, you're not quite doing so well. Would that be fair?
That's pretty fair. Haven't been for a wee while. I basically just want to talk about, like, I really don't think Russell Martin's the man for the job. I gave him the benefit of the doubt for quite a wee while now, but there's been quite a few things that have been getting to me over the past few weeks. I mean, like, it might be quite small, right? But I don't think his professionalism's there. You know, like, small things, like, coming out, no wearing the suit and tie. And like, I know he says he's sweating a lot, right? But you're seeing Philip come on, Gio, Steven Gerrard coming out wearing the suit, even when there's an absolute scorcher on. And then, like, the things that like, he's constantly talking about growing. I mean, like, even if he was managing a primary school team, I don't think you could carry on with this whole growing, and then, like, he's always talking about Southampton, what he was doing back in England. I think he should be fully focused on what's going on here and now, you know?
I'm, on one hand, not sure if we really need to have a genuine, sincere debate about his fashion choices, but then he did bring it up at his press conference, and now David mentions it. I don't know. You can take it away, and I'll just sit back.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to chime in when saying my grandpa would certainly wish he was wearing a tie, because okay. I was taught to wear a collar and tie every day, never mind just a match day. So, listen, my personal preference would be he would, because it's been a tradition thing for 150 plus years, but I can't say I'm overly offended with his choice not to.
Roger, does it matter? Does it only get the spotlight on it when you don't win games?
Oh, there you are. Now, if Russell Martin had come in, beaten Motherwell, Dundee, St Mirren, if Russell Martin had come in and was 3-1 up against Club Bruges, he could come in dressed in Gordon Dale's chicken suit and people wouldn't care. The problem for Russell Martin is that he's not wearing a suit and a collar and a tie and they're losing, and he's not had his hair cut and they're losing. And he's brought up his mother in a press conference and they're losing. And he's called out one of the players, or two of the players, after the Motherwell defeat and not winning games. And he's called out another player yesterday and they're not winning games. Results cover a multitude of sins and a multitude of issues. And if he starts winning games, no one will care what he wears or how he looks or what he says.
Is that the reality, David?
No, I totally agree. That was just my first point. One of my other points is going to be, see just like the way the team is now, he's brought in 6 players and he's bringing in some players that are like, let's say, like past boys that he knows, right? But see me trying to put in 6 new players into a team without having the proper structure in a team that was there before, right? Like, you're putting 6 players into a team expecting them to work together, but then also work together with the players that are there to before. It's not going to work straight away after that, putting 6 players in. I can understand, like, one or two at a time. Fair enough. But then, when you've got that, you're taking the captain, who's the most senior player there, the guy that knows the team, that knows the club. You're taking him out the equation. Fair enough, right? I understand that he might have a bit of an ego about him, but see, playing for a couple of Rangers, you do need to have a bit of an ego about you.
I mean, Roger, it's more than six signings overall, incidentally, but the problem is there are teams make lots of signings, there are teams try different. Look at Andy's teammates, you know, there's a lot of change in the Motherwell team.
I was just going to bring that up.
There's a big change in style.
People are telling me that the best Motherwell 60 minutes they've seen in 50 years, and it's with new signing Longuello and new signing Just and new signing Elliot Watt and new signing Fadinger in the team, so it doesn't appear to be affecting them. I think there was 8 new signings, 7 of Russell Martins plus Lyle Cameron started the game yesterday, and you know they never looked like winning the game. Against Dundee, they never looked like winning the game. Against Motherwell, they led for a long time, but they were second best in terms of the performance on the pitch. That's 3 league games. They're 6 points off the pace. The players, especially a few of the newcomers, look off the pace. Max Ahrens is not an improvement in Tavernier. Joe Rothwell is not an improvement in Ruskin or Diamandé. Asgard, from what we've seen in his performance yesterday, is not an improvement on the strikers that are there, even though he's not probably a striker. So that is a worry for Rangers fans. You always give players time to settle in. These guys need to hit the ground now. They need to start performing now.
Is that what they're saying? Best Motherwell performance in decades? Did you go along with that? The best you've seen since you were at the club?
I haven't seen Motherwell 49 years ago, 40
you
years ago.
Save you a lot of hassle, by the way.
It was, I think it's that or the Rangers at Ibrox. I think it was Barry Ferguson's first game. But I thought yesterday, I thought the weekend there, I think maybe just edge it just because of how much control we actually had for the first 65 minutes at a place that's notoriously difficult for any club in the league.
Tom Cowan, season ticket holder since 1979, said yesterday it's the best hour of football he's seen from Motherwell in 46 years.
Yeah, fair enough. High praise. I wouldn't disagree with it. Thank you to David on the line. Let's bring in another David on the other line. How would you sum up your feelings about everything that's going on at your club at the moment tonight, David?
It just seems like total chaos at the moment. Honestly, I didn't think it could get much worse under the way it ended with Philip Clement. But this team's just said, hold my beer, watch this. It's absolutely unbelievable what's happening. The stuff with Russell Martin's coming out with, the fans don't like me because I'm wearing a suit. They're not wearing a suit. That's a Michael Beale comment. Agamani refusing to play. Most of the team is his people that he's brought in or people that he's worked with in the past, so they should know what he wants, and it's just not working. I think I've seen a stat, it's like the worst start to a Rangers team in recent history. It's just not working. I can see it's not working. I've seen one or two people saying, well, Ange Postecoglou didn't start off very well, but it's like you could see what he was trying to do and that it was going to come good. But it's just not working. Yeah. The defence is all over the place. It is absolutely shocking.
The problem with that Ange Postecoglou thing is even if it was accurate ever, which I think many people would still have that as debatable, it's certainly worn out now. I mean, you couldn't...
There's no comparison.
You know, maybe after like week one or whatever, you could say, oh, just bear in mind that it took a while, but I think that's got to be done now. David, see the Igeman, Russell Martin thing. Who do you blame there, if that's the right word? Or that situation, who does that leave you wanting to criticise the most out of those two?
It's difficult to know what's in a player's head, but it's up to the manager to give the player something to believe in. And if he's lost the dressing room that quickly, it does not bode well for him. But is it maybe just totally eggy man? Is he just like, I want out of here no matter who was the manager? We don't know. That's the two sides of the different coin, but it's up to the manager at the end to get players motivated, to get something in their head going, look, I'm the guy to get you your next move if you want it, or I'm the guy to help you make the level that you want to achieve as a footballer. That's up to him. And you can already see that the players are not buying into it, because there's nothing there defensively. There's no shape attacking-wise. There's nothing in the midfield. It's absolute chaos. It's totally unrecognisable as any form of football I've ever seen. It's Russell Martin. I don't know what the board are thinking, but the 49ers, I think they need to be very, very careful. I think Russell Martin said we need to go through the pain. Rangers fans have been through the pain, been through 15 years of pain. They've had enough pain. They need to be careful.
And they see on that, that David talks about that, just the phrase "lost the dressing room" so vague, and I don't know if ever it's as people think it is. But the Eggerman situation brought up a wider point, because it wasn't just him. Russell Martin said, you know, there are a couple or a few that are still maybe looking. So, you know, everything, can't wait for the window to shut. Everything will be better when it shuts. How much do you think that is impacting things at the moment?
I don't put that down to the reason that they've won 3-9, personally. I do think it can have an impact on your dressing room and what you want to do moving forward, but I don't think that's the reason we're seeing below par Rangers performances. I certainly don't see that as the biggest reason. So I don't disagree. I think most clubs, to be honest, look forward to the transfer window being shut, because they know that's their settled squad moving forward, and that's what they're going to be working with. And yes, there's still going to be change. You know, Nadim Bajrami looks as if he's on the way out. Looks as if there's going to be boys coming in. Potentially Eggerman leaving, Desser's leaving. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty with certain members of the squad. But as I said, and I'll continue to say, Rangers have spent 15 plus million. Close to 20 million, actually. 7-8 if you include Leo Kamen, new signings yesterday. So there's plenty in the building that Russell Martin wanted, and there's been plenty enough games to start seeing signs of improvement. And like I said, this moment in time, you're just not quite seeing it at the moment.
Thank you, David. What about Graham in Grangemouth? What's your take on it all?
How are we doing, guys? All right, first time caller.
Good to have you. Graham. What made you call in? Which bit of this tipped you over the edge?
It's just this Hans Eggerman saga. I mean, I was speaking to a producer there. I mean, Andy will know himself, being a professional football player. You're not going to turn up to a game if you're injured. You would go to the manager, you'd go to the coaching staff and say, listen, I'm injured. If that's happened in the warm-up, any professional man, no matter if, right, okay, maybe his English isn't the best, he would go and speak to the staff. For me, it's just a deflection tactic for Russell Martin. He's flung the players under the bus on numerous occasions, and for me, I just don't think it's washing with the Rangers fans. Me, myself, I'm finished with it, I think. It's time for a fresh start, and okay, it's August, but let's wash our hands, hold our hands up, it's a mistake, and we'll move on.
But just on that, though, on you go, Andy.
No, I was just going to say, I'm amazed at the amount of phone calls and almost in defence of Hans Eggerman here. You've actually said that if he's injured, you'd report it to a physio, but then you're saying that Russell Martin threw him under the bus. I mean, for me, Hams Eggerman is completely out of order in this situation. I'm not seeing enough people criticising a player for refusing to play for their club.
Is that, I said earlier, is that because Russell Martin's stock's so low?
Undoubtedly. But again, you can criticise him for certain things. I don't think you can criticise him for how he's handled this situation, because you've actually got a player deemed to be your star striker, one of your mavericks in the side, refusing to play. I mean, surely the blame lies at Hams Eggerman's door, not just Russell Martin's.
Graham?
For me, Andy, I get your point, 100%, I get your point. But that's us taking the side 100% of Russell Martin and not seeing the full side of the story. I know, obviously, it's he said, she said, he said, she said. But for me, I think you need to step back and look at the full picture. You add up all the different bits and pieces. He's never, to me, it doesn't look like he's disjointed, he doesn't want to play. Every time he comes on, he gives 100%. So you need to take back, and before you see the full facts, you need to look at all these possibilities. For me, he's deflected a lot, he's blamed the players a lot, so there is a possibility. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, you're 100% wrong, the argument's there, but for me, it's got to be looked into that he's deflecting, because he's thrown the players under the bus on numerous occasions already, like I said.
Well, I agree completely with what you said, that if he's injured, they'd report it to the physio, and he'd alert members of staff. He's not done that. If he'd done that, then Russell Martin would know not to bring him on the park with 30 minutes to go. Now, it's interesting as well, you say throwing players under the bus. That it was a reference made after the Motherwell interview that he came out criticising certain members of the squad. Now, at that time, Russell Martin had more stock than he does now, and we had so many calls loving the fact that he was really refreshing and really honest and calling people's character out. But now, three poor results later, it's now as if you can't handle stuff like that. You can't throw players under the bus. So I think the narrative's now swinging a certain way because a lot of people aren't having the manager.
Roger, just as a more general point here, without knowing exactly what Hamza Egerman's feeling and exactly what Russell Martin's feeling, I think, and I'll say it because he's sitting here, footballers do sometimes get away with murder because they think that they, you know, hold a lot of the power in these situations. And it is really interesting that the level of negativity against Russell Martin is such that this is now being perceived a little bit as
you learned years ago.
Poor Egerman.
You learned years ago it's easier to get rid of one manager than get rid of 20 players. That is just a fact of football. I think Egerman will go. I think it will be best for all if Egerman goes. He's clearly wanting to go. Russell Martin clearly doesn't fancy him. And there'll be a French club or clubs willing to pay considerably more than Rangers paid for Egerman a year ago. I think you have to remember, winning goal at Celtic Park aside, he wasn't a regular starter under Barry Ferguson and wasn't a regular starter under Philippe Clement either. He did score goals, but he was in and out the team. It doesn't look as if he's Russell Martin's cup of tea. I think he'll be gone by next Monday. The key for Russell Martin is to get somebody better in the door.
Thank you very much to Graham. What about your teaser? Can you name, let's go before Kieran Bowie, the nine Hibs players since 2012 to be capped for the Scotland men's team whilst at the club? John McGinn and Ryan Porteous.
I'm going to go for the best McGinn, Paul.
Yes, he was at Hibs when he got his cap. Yep.
Kevin Nisbet.
Yes. One more guess.
Lewis Stevenson.
You're absolutely flying. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. Got a good teaser sent in by Brian in Falkirk. Remember, as always, the email you need for that to hear your question used is fulltime@clyde1.com. Name the nine Hibs players since 2012 to be capped for Scotland men's team whilst at the club. John McGinn, Lewis Stevenson, Paul McGinn, Kevin Nisbet, Ryan Porteous. This is before Kieran Bowie.
David Marshall.
No.
Oh wow.
Paul Hanlon.
Yes.
Dylan McGeoch.
Yes.
Two to get then. Jason Cummins.
No.
How is the Aussie one?
When he got his Scotland cap, that Netherlands game at Pittodrie, he was at Barnsley, I think. It wasn't Hibs anyway.
Can't remember time. Lewis Stevenson got his cap on the trip under McLeish to Mexico and Peru. Now Chris Cadden was capped as well, but I can't remember who he played for.
Not Hibs.
No, not Hibs.
Right, leave it with you. You've got a couple more to get. Just on that topic, Scotland squad today announced for the upcoming doubleheader away to Denmark and Belarus. World Cup qualifiers, remember, it's a bit of a sprint to this group. We've only got four teams in it. It's six games. It'll take place very quickly to try and win a place, or in comparison to normal campaigns anyway, to try and win a place at the World Cup next summer. The headlines, Roger, would be Aaron Hickey back for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
And Ben Gannon-Doak, as he's now known, back after missing the previous set of fixtures over the summer. I think it's his first since the November meet. Obviously did so well and people were really hopeful of that. Other than that, I don't know if there are headlines really. We've got Lennon Miller stays in. We mentioned Kieran Bowie, he stays in. Ryan Christie's actually back as well, another one who missed out previously. Dominic Hayam in, we don't see much of him. Anything else that tickles your fancy?
The goalies. Who plays in goal? Angus Gunn signed for Nottingham Forest through the summer, hasn't played a game yet. Liam Kelly has had one game at home to Alloa. And Xander Clark has had what might be described as an indifferent start to the season at Hearts. I wonder if John McCracken might have been in the squad, played well at Dundee, sorry, at Kilmarnock with Dundee, not in the squad. So we look good. If you know, you talk about Gannon-Doak, you talk about Jay Adams got a hat trick in his last Scotland game, you talk about McTominay, you talk about Kieran Bowie, Ryan Christie, if fit. Gilmour, McGinn, we look good going forward. Robertson on one side, maybe Hickey on the other side. It's still centre half and goalkeeper that would worry you.
Yeah, because spectacularly, Andy, Roger's right, there are issues in the goalkeeping department, yet it's still better than what we had in the summer because
you
know, Kieran Slicker had to come on and Ross Doohan played against Liechtenstein. It'll be an incredible quiz question answer in years to come. How big is it having Aaron Hickey and Ben Gannon-Doak back?
Well, you know, off air, he's probably my personal favourite out of the Scotland squad, and someone who I really, really enjoy watching. I don't think he's your typical Scotland fullback. I think he's extremely technical. I think he's great with both feet. And I think out with the two poster boys, John McGinn, Scott McTominay, who have both been absolutely fantastic for Scotland. I think any time Aaron Hickey's played for Scotland, he's been a real standout for me. So a real boost to have him back. Just still slight question marks of how much of the two games can he actually play. He's only been back for a couple of sub appearances for Brentford.
Answer that for you. Let's hear from Steve Clark on the return of Aaron Hickey.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for us, but even better for Aaron. Obviously, a long time out injured. Difficult recovery process for him. He got some minutes at the weekend. Hopefully, he'll get some minutes through the week. It's good to have him back in the squad. Now he's good to go. Whether he's good to go 90 minutes over two games is a different conversation. But we'll manage him. We know that Aaron's a big player for us. He's a big player for his club, and it's up to everybody to manage him properly. So we'll do that.
Because it is a department that Steve Clark's had to try and find solutions. Anthony Ralston obviously played at the Euros. You remember Ross McCrory went to the Euros as the other right back. Nicky Devlin has been in squads and came on. Max Johnson's kept his place in this squad, so has been a slight problem area. And the Ben Gannon-Doak one is just so obvious because he's very good generally, but completely unique in terms of what we have, isn't he?
Yeah, I think we've always said that we've lacked that one real stalwart at the top of the pitch that can win you games on his own. You know, we reference Gareth Bale for Wales so many times because it's so easy to compare the two squads and think, I think your squad's probably a bit more competitive than that, but we don't have a Gareth Bale. We don't have that one player that can score for 30 yards or take on three players and put it in the back of the net. And you've got to feel like Ben Doak could be that player, Ben Gannon-Doak, sorry. And obviously he's just got his £25 million move to Bournemouth, and to be fair, I think Steve Clark answered that pretty perfectly. He's probably not fit enough to play 90 minutes, mm-hmm. but can he play 90 minutes and then hope he doesn't refuse to come off the bench in the second one?
Big decisions to be made as well, because in the past when Robertson and Tierney have been there, they played a three to accommodate the two of them. If you play a three and the width comes from the wing backs, where does Doak fit into that? So would you have to go back to a four, and if so, does Tierney get sacrificed?
Or does he play left centre half? But listen, Kieran Tierney actually, his last few appearances at Arsenal, played left midfield. So again, it's another possibility. I think it's such an interesting conversation, because when you have two left backs of the quality, Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney, of course you want to fit them in the squad. But then you are losing out on Ben Gannon-Doak, the guy that we're talking about.
Because Ben Doak wasn't in the mix. It was just a no-brainer to get Tierney and Robertson in. Whereas now you've got that.
Well, you want to pick McTominay, McGinn and Gilmour,
yeah,
don't you?
For sure, yeah.
And then
Christie, Ferguson,
Lennon Miller.
The long argument. Who plays up top? Does Adams keep the shirt? Is Bowie a contender to start?
Kieran Bowie would be a popular one, wouldn't he? But as you say, to be fair, like, Shea Adams, I think, got 10 goals for Torino last season. He scored a hat-trick in his very last Scotland game. I think the problem is
he hold the jersey.
He's got a bit of scar tissue there. He's maybe had too much of a quiet spell in front of goal for a lot of Scotland fans. So I think Kieran Bowie would be popular, but I don't think it'd be outrageous to suggest Adams, would it?
I think if you had one friendly out the two coming up, I would love to see Keenan Bowie get the shot and give him 90 minutes. Let's see what he can do. I just think, you know, Steve Clark will go with his more tried and trusted, especially off the back of Shea Adams being in good form.
Wait, do you see Gordon getting annoyed here? If you start Adams, Keenan Bowie would be a great finisher. Gordon doesn't like it.
Thinks he's Mikel Arteta.
To finish the game.
Yeah. Finishers off the bench.
I'm not mad at that myself.
Absolutely pathetic.
A good game changer.
Absolute nonsense. Funnily enough, there was a kind of youthful look to the squad, and James Wilson's been tried and a few others.
Yeah.
The only so called youngsters that were brought in that have kept their place is Kieran Bowie and Lennon Miller, incidentally. It's his 19th birthday today. It's also potentially his Udinese debut, so he's on the bench tonight for that game.
Coppa Italia, is it Carabese?
I kind of thought he would stay in the squad, because I know he left a good impression the last time, but he's also not played. As you well know, he's not played at all yet.
Yeah, but he's kept himself fit. The reason he's not played since he's went to Udinese, I think there was some international visa issues there.
They've only had one game, haven't they?
They've only had one game in the previous round of the Coppa Italia, so it's great to see him back involved in the squad tonight. Hopefully he can get some minutes, but oh, listen, that for me it was an absolute no-brainer. You know, take bias aside, I still think it's a no-brainer for him to be in the squad. I think it's someone that you're hoping's in the squad for the next 10-15 years. And you know, that last game against Liechtenstein, I thought he was a real positive within it. So I think he'd done more than enough to keep his place.
That is a fair Learjet. It'd be a spare seat in it. And I mean, they're winning the same for McTominay and Gilmer and Adams and Ferguson. Spare seat for Lennon Miller. So he's well coming over.
Definitely.
See me scoot. Took Scott McTominay long to pick up where he left off. What was he?
Yeah.
20 minutes into the new season, scored again for Napoli.
He's even helping on that young lady they signed in the summer, De Bruyne.
That's right. I think he's taking him under his wing.
Yeah, help him.
He scored the second, didn't he?
He did. I've seen a couple of recent pictures of Scott McTominay. He's really took to the Italian lifestyle, isn't he, with his new look.
The Barnet.
Yeah, he's looking well.
Jealous.
Often not.
I'm not in a position to comment.
Can't get away with that hairdo. In Motherwell, very quickly, anything else that you desperately want to get off your chest from the weekend?
I was hoping it would be a Motherwell call, to be honest with you. But I know the lines have been busy.
I've got a Motherwell question.
Of course.
I'm going to Fir Park on Saturday.
Yeah.
Stuart Kettlewell's first game back. Manager of Kilmarnock. What kind of reception will I get from you, but more importantly for the Motherwell fans?
Well, I was going to say game of the weekend, but there's a couple of certain derbies on the Sunday that might overshadow it.
It's a game of Saturday, Andrew.
Well, listen, I've said my piece. I got along with them extremely well. I know they didn't end in great terms for Stuart Kettlewell or Motherwell, but looking forward to the game.
Let's finish the teaser. 9 Hibs players before Kieran Bowie since 2012 capped for the Scotland men's team whilst at the club. Both McGinns, McGeoch, Stevenson, Hanlon, Nisbet, Porteous. Two to get.
Fivey?
Nope.
I think so.
You can back to 2012 for one. What are you missing here?
Oh, you're always missing a goalie.
Nope. But 2012, so was that Hibs?
Oh, aye.
Took him a while to score for Scotland.
Lee Griffiths?
Yes. And the 2019 one, I knew would be the one that would catch you out. So it was probably, in fact, no probably about it. It was that, unfortunately for Alex McLeish, it was Kazakhstan and San Marino. It was that doubleheader,
oh,
I'm sure.
Graham Shinney played, but it's obviously not him. Who else played
striker? I'm sure it was San Marino away on the back of Kazakhstan. That was kind of the end James of Keats. Alex McLeish. Nope.
2012.
Put you out your misery.
2019.
I need to put you out your misery. I'm afraid it's time up.
Initials.
MM. Quick.
Mark McNulty.
Mark McNulty. Oh, thank you, Roger and Andy. We're back tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your night.